فكان عاقبة المجرمين.
Say, O Muhammad, travel through the land and observe how was the end of the criminals.
ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تكن في ضيق مما يمكرون.
And grieve not over them or be in distress from what they conspire.
Dear listeners, now that you have listened to these two verses, you have to know that several times the Holy Quran, by the Arabic phrase siru, or travel, or the phrase afalam yasiru, did you not travel, has encouraged people to travel in the earth. And in many of them, the purpose has been for warning, for awareness, for taking example from the life of wrongdoers, etc. So, that is why, in this noble verse, the Holy Qur'an addresses the Holy Prophet ﷺ and says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, say, travel in the earth, فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and see how the end of the guilty ones has been. So, visiting the remained traces of the oppressors of history is one of the means of growth and training. And former verses said about the fanatic pagans and their denial of resurrection when they rejected it by their own ridicules, by their own justifications. And in this noble verse, the Quran addresses the Holy Prophet. It says that, O Prophet, you have to tell those pagans, you have to tell everyone to siru fil ard, to travel in the earth. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, see how the end of the guilty ones has been. So, you say that these promises have also been given to your ancestors. You may remember, in the previous episode, we thoroughly discussed the false argument of the pagans. They said that, in one simple sentence, أَيْذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا, when we have been changed into dust, and our fathers too, then, is that even possible for us to become full of life again? To come back to life again? It's impossible. It's more like the fable of the ancients. That's what they said. Now, this verse is answering them. You say that those promises have also been given to your ancestors, and they did not give heed to them too, nor they were damaged. But the point is, if you travel in the world, if you watch the traces of these criminal sinful ones, the deniers of monotheism and resurrection of the old, which are found in the locality of the lands of Hijaz, of course, your own land, you will understand that the fact is something else. So, do not hasten. Your turn will come too, and if you do not amend yourselves, you will have the same evil fate as well.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
أيها الناس أنتم Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, regarding these two verses, dear listeners, we mentioned that the Holy Quran has repeatedly invited people to travel in the earth, to observe the traces of the old. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Or it says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا Have you not traveled? So it seems more like a very emphasized recommendation of the Holy Quran for people to travel throughout the earth by having this kind of perspective, by having these spectacles of taking evidence, of taking understanding, of taking lessons and educations from the previous generations, why they did, how they did, and how their endings turned out to be. So the Quranic sentences have repeatedly invited people to travel in the earth, to observe the traces of the old generations, the ruined lands of the nations who have been seized by the divine punishment, the destroyed castles of the kings of the ancient, or the scattered graves and the rotten bones of the oppressors, and the remaining ownerless properties of haughty, wealthy ones. The Quran specially declares that studying these traces, which are the alive, expressive, and concrete history of the ancient people, in fact, this makes the mind aware, and this gives insight to them. And sometimes visiting one of these effects, creatures such as a storm of vigilance in the soul and spirit of man that studying several thick history books does not have it. So it is really important why the Almighty Allah orders us to have this kind of travels. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Say, travel in the earth. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ And see how the end of the guilty ones has been. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an analysis on the most important Islamic concepts and teachings. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Brother Alavian. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Alavian, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another type of mystical irfani concept, and that is riyaza, or riyaza to nafs. Roughly, it can be translated as to purification of the soul or asceticism. So it has different meanings. Even non-Islamic schools of thought, some of them are very much famous in order to do asceticism, have an ascetic lifestyle. But what does it mean according to Islamic teachings? We want to discuss it today. Brother Alavian, first of all, define for us what is riyaza.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Riyaza or asceticism actually means tolerating the hardships or living the desires. Definitely what we call desires here are mainly material and worldly desires in order to purify the soul. So this by itself is a good and recommended action. I mean, as you said, in every school of thought, it can be praised that human beings, in order to actually be able to overcome some of the deficiencies that the soul has, to oblige itself to practice, to have some certain kinds of practices. But in Islam, specifically in mystical schools, this concept of asceticism or riyada has been mentioned, and the outcome and consequences of this asceticism has been mentioned. But in narrations, in the recommendations that we have received from the Holy Prophet and the infallible imams, or the conduct of these holy existence and holy figures, we have understood lots of lessons from what they have done in their own holy lives.
That's right.
In order to keep this this morale of riyada or asceticism in themselves, mm-hmm. right? Like speaking less, like, right. For example, experiencing the generosity among themselves or among people, mm-hmm. or the humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to be in order to practice humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or submission in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some prerequisites for that. Or in order to be a man of speaking less, so you need to practice with yourself, with the soul, in order to oblige your soul to actually step in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants only.
That's right.
Not to say something which is additional, not to ignore the words to be said that are necessary to be said.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
I want to say that this riyada or asceticism is an act of worship, because it is going to be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Like eating less, what is the outcome of eating less? So you have a good mood for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right. in the middle of the night.
That's right.
Or to some extent, we need a sort of isolation from the people. Tariq al-Dunya. No, we are not promoting this concept.
Yes.
To be away from the whole society, or isolated from the society. No.
To become fine, solitary, that's right.
Some very few minutes or hours for ourselves, to be with ourselves, mm-hmm. to actually find our accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to examine our accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called asceticism, or riyada.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much, Brother Alavian. Shaykh Rouhani, so it seems that one of the ways in which we can purify our soul is a riyaza to nafs. And as I said at the beginning of the program, different schools of thought all across the world practice this type of action, riyaza. I mean, they bear difficult situations, even in solitary life, in confinement, in mountains, okay? To have a solitary life, to be away from the people, in order to find such a purification of the soul. So what are the main differences in both method and results of riyaza to nafs in Islamic school of thought and the non-Islamic ones?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, Riyadha is a kind of self-refrainment, or we can say a kind of exertion. We mean that we make a lot of kind of physical and mental effort to achieve something in our spiritual life and to perfect our soul, to perfect ourselves. So when it comes to this kind of refrainment or self-refrainment, of course, sometimes we see that in non-Islamic, let's say, what we can say, orders, we have also, or let's say, ideologies or religions or sects, we have also a kind of riyadha. But the point is that from the Islamic perspective, riyadha should be completely in accordance with the Islamic Sharia.
Yes.
If you violate and cross the, let's say, the borders of the Sharia, then of course whatever you achieve is not true, is not justified, is not accepted.
Out of the framework of Sharia, is not accepted. That's right. Okay.
This is the main difference between the riyadha that we have in Islam and in non-Islamic kind of religions.
Okay, very good.
That is why sometimes you have some people who may, for example, make lots of efforts. They physically might put themselves into pressures, difficulties, challenges, and they might bear and tolerate, let's say, sufferings and hardships to achieve some worldly or earthly kind of achievements or, let's say, successes.
So through these hardships, reach even some levels in order to some extraordinary actions. That's
exactly. This kind of riyadhat is not accepted by Islam.
Okay.
It's not true. Because the main objective of riyadha is to get nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied, to get closer and closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not to, for the sake of these earthly and worldly, let's say, affairs and material kind of objectives in this life. And that is why we can say that when it comes to riyadhat, of course, it should be under the supervision of the masters of this, let's say, riyadhat. And a person cannot do these kind of things without any guide, without any master.
All right. That's right.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
A big line is made between riyaza and ruhbaniya. I mean, asceticism or ascesis and monasticism, Brother Alavian. So why these two must not be mixed with each other, and why? Especially based on Mullah Sadra teachings, you know, ruhbaniya is, we can say, prevented in Islam, isn't it? Yeah. So why is it so?
Prior to Mullah Sadra, Islamic teachings tells us that we have been prevented from being isolated from society. Because
so monasticism is this, to be isolated only from the society?
So Rahbaniya has been avoided, we have been avoided from practicing Rahbaniya or monasticism.
That's right.
Well, since Islam is a multifaceted religion, so actually cares for different aspects of life of a human being in this world. One aspect of human life in this world is social social contacts with the people, or because we have some crucial dimensions in our lives: our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relations with others, with people, with society, our relation with the environment, and our relation with ourselves. So these four key dimensions have been defined in Islam and Islamic teachings. So we have a duty, we have sort of a commitment towards the society and the people. I mean, the kind of narrations that actually recommends us to be kind to your neighbor.
Yes.
It seems that even there is nothing more important than the neighbor in the world. You see how important this concept is in the view of Islam. that your neighbor, you have some duties towards your neighbor. So yes. The same duties are going to apply for the people around, I mean, in your vicinity. So who is your neighbor? At least 40, I mean, houses next to your area.
All right.
This is the least thing. Again, your neighbor in your workspace, the neighbor in your, I don't know, lots of interpretation yes. for this neighborhood.
Yes.
So when we have all these duties, can we be, I mean, apart from the society? Definitely no. So this is what Islam actually makes Islam different from others. Mm-hmm. Islam tells us that you need some time to be alone with yourself,
yes.
to work on your own soul.
Yes.
But this is not going to be the whole day of
to
yours, the whole night of yours. So you have a duty for others. It
yes.
is, I mean, a limited time for yourself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to pay attention to what you have done. Mm-hmm. I mean, to do your muhasabah, accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you have done.
That's
so. Again, in Islamic teachings, we have some recommendations, again, in order to make this aspect of Islamic teachings more colorful, like what we have been avoided to be in a status of rahbaniyah, but to be in a state of riyadah, to be in a status
gotcha.
Of riyadah or asis.
Yes.
So when we are in the status of asis and we have accepted it, so we need to have to gain some knowledge from Islamic teachings first.
Mm-hmm.
So if we lack this knowledge from Islamic teachings, what would be the outcome? Rahbaniyah.
Okay. Is it possible to reach the level, we can say, of riyaza without Sharia?
This is the difference
okay.
I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
Look, if we step in the way of riyaza without the knowledge of Sharia,
yes.
knowledge of religion,
okay.
or even acting upon it,
okay.
it would be rahbaniyah. The outcome would be rahbaniyah.
Okay.
So, but if we have gained a good knowledge of aqa'id, of akhlaq, of Islamic ahkams and rulings, then we enter to this world and realm of riyadha, asis,
yes.
then it would be the thing that is recommended, that is
so
desired for Islam
okay.
and a Muslim as a duty.
All right. So, Shaykh Rouhani, it is possible that a person is deviated through riyadha, isn't it?
Why not, yeah.
Okay, I mean, you put lots of hardships, lots of pressures on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You practice a lot, but at the end of the day, we can say all of them is gone. I mean, you are misled from the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you could not put it in the framework of taqwa, as
yes.
Imam Ali alayhi salam puts it.
Yeah, you know, it depends that what is your objective, your purpose
uh-huh.
of practicing riyadha or acting according to riyadhat, yeah? If your objective is some worldly affairs
mm-hmm.
or earthly kind of achievements, then of course this kind of riyadhat are kind of useless riyadhat
mm-hmm.
because it is just wastage of the energy of time and life. But if your objective is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then because Allah's creatures are also have to be served by you, that's why when you achieve some, let's say, achievements spiritually, you have to share it with the others.
Mm-hmm.
You have to help others, yeah? Like prophets, for example, prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam, they have this highest level of, let's say, achievements spiritually. Can we say that they did not care about others?
All right.
Or the a'imma alayhim salatu wassalam.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Imam Sajjad, alayhim salatu wassalam.
Yes.
He had many students.
Yes.
And he trained them and he brought them up in accordance to this, let's say, Sharia law, and of course the enhancement of the level of purification in their souls. And also the other Imam alayhim salatu wasalam. So that's why we cannot say that this riyadhat should be a kind of completely isolation from the society, from the community, from the people, not caring about others, not helping others, not guiding others. These are the things that we should
That's
consider
right.
when we talk about
riyadha. That's right. As we read in Ayah 40 and 41 of Surah An-Naziat, that, but as for him who is ought to stand before his Lord and restrains his soul from following desires, for sure paradise will be his place. That's right. Okay, so controlling desires, satanic temptations, you know, and under the framework of Sharia law, this is the best way in order to do riyadha. And on that time, you know, that's right, doing extraordinary by the body is possible, but by the soul is more important, okay? So, and the true meaning of riyaza is going to happen the scale of the soul rather than the body. Thank you very much, Brother Alevyan and mm-hmm. Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of riyaza to nafsi. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Winter takes its last breaths. The sun comes back to life and the earth gradually warms up. Trees awaken from their winter slumber and nature bursts forth in a symphony of vibrant colors. Spring is just around the corner. Everyone seems happy and full of hope. It is time to say goodbye to the cold season of the year and welcome a time marked by festivities across the country. During this beautiful transition, the people of Iran begin their preparations for Nowruz. Meaning New Day, this national festival is an ideal time for relaxation and rejuvenation, reconnecting with loved ones, traveling to breathtaking destinations, taking refuge in nature, and truly savoring life. This season grants everyone a precious opportunity to recharge their batteries for the year ahead. Yet, there is more about Nowruz, a festival with its roots in time immemorial. On the eve of the last Wednesday before Nowruz, Iranians traditionally celebrate Charshanbe Suri. People gather in neighborhoods to light bonfires made from wood and twigs. Participants jump over the flames while chanting Zardi man az to, Sorkhi to az man, which translates to "My paleness is yours, your redness is mine." This chant symbolizes the hope for health and vitality in the new year. Setting off firecrackers and fireworks is a common practice to symbolically ward off evil spirits and announce the arrival of the new year with joy. Music, dancing, and singing often accompany the festivities, creating a lively atmosphere. The central message of Charshanbe Suri revolves around renewal and hope. It embodies themes of purification and the triumph of light over darkness. Welcome to Golestan Palace, a UNESCO World Heritage Site in the heart of Tehran, where history and culture come together to celebrate Nowruz, the Persian New Year. Nowruz, signaling the arrival of spring, is not just a celebration of nature's renewal, but also a reflection of Iran's rich heritage as well. Join us as we explore the significance of this beautiful festival and what it means to the people of Iran today. As the last moments of the old year fade away, families across Iran gather in their homes, ready to welcome the much-anticipated arrival of Nowruz, the Persian New Year. The air is filled with a palpable sense of excitement and hope as loved ones come together around the beautifully arranged haftseen table, which is a symbol of renewal and abundance. The haftseen table is meticulously set with seven symbolic items, each starting with a Persian letter seen, representing different aspects of life. Sabze, sprouted wheat or lentils symbolizing rebirth and growth. Samanu, a sweet pudding made from sprouted wheat representing power and strength. Senjed, dried fruit of the oleaster tree symbolizing love. Serke, vinegar representing patience and wisdom. Sir, garlic, symbolizing health and protection against evil. C. Apples, representing beauty and health. Somak, sumac berries, symbolizing the sunrise and the triumph of good over evil. Alongside these, other elements such as a mirror, hyacinth, and coins are placed on the table, each carrying its significance. The declaration of the new year in Iran is not merely a change in time, it is a heartfelt ritual that encapsulates hope, love, and the promise of new beginnings. Surrounded by traditions and the spirit of renewal, each household becomes a part of a greater tapestry woven throughout the country, connecting all Iranians in a celebration of life and the beauty of new possibilities. Dr. Mostafa Pourali from Iran's Ministry of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts explained why Nowruz truly qualifies as a national festival. As a national festival, what do you think are some of the social and cultural functions of Nowruz?
نوروز همون جوری که در پرونده ثبت میراث ناملموس جهانیش هم مورد تایید یونسکو قرار گرفته.
Nowruz transcends ethnic, religious and ideological differences. It serves as a unifying element among all our ethnic groups. In fact, it doesn't matter when the moment of the new year arrives. There's no distinction between Kurds, Lors, Gilaks, Arabs, Baluches and Persians. Everyone celebrates Nowruz. The same applies to the tradition of giving iftar during Ramadan. Even though iftar is associated with Ramadan, those who provide iftar do so for everyone, regardless of whether the recipient is fasting or not, or whether they're Muslim or not. What is important is the tradition of generosity and doing good deeds. When we talk about the cultural heritage of Iran, these are the elements that constitute it.
Nowruz has been celebrated for over 3,000 years, rooted in ancient Persian traditions. Here at the Golestan Palace, the echoes of history remind us how this festival transcends time, uniting generations. Nowruz is not just a holiday, it's a celebration of culture and identity, embraced by all Iranians, regardless of their background. Almost a week before the new year, we were strolling around the palace, captivated by its grandeur, when we stumbled upon a gathering of people relishing a duet. The performers were reciting verses from the Shahnameh, the epic masterpiece by Ferdowsi, one of the greatest poets of this land, whose work is deeply entwined with the themes of Iranian identity and heritage. What struck us was the abundant references to Nowruz throughout the Shahnameh, celebrating it as a festival of the Iranian nation.
Nowruz bude, hast va khahad bud.
Nowruz has been, is, and will continue to be as long as there exists a land called Iran on earth. This ancient festival connects the hearts of us Iranians. When Nowruz arrives, we visit each other, clean our homes, wear new clothes, and welcome freshness, light, and life.
Mohammad Reza Majuni, an Iranian naqqad or epic storyteller, told us about the mythological origins of Nowruz.
گرانمایه جمشید فرزند او یعنی فرزند تهمورس دیوبند.
King Jamshid ascended to the throne after his father King Tahmuras and brought forth a plethora of innovations and inventions over the centuries, ranging from iron extraction and the creation of weapons to the development of clothing and the establishment of occupational groups, including four categories: priests, warriors, farmers, and artisans. He even crafted a throne that he would sit on and carried by demons ascend to the sky. When King Jamshid completed all his good deeds, the people of the world gathered around him, brings various gifts, and they celebrated with joy and happiness. King Jamshid named that day Nowruz and thus laid the foundation for the Nowruz festival.
As we listened, one of the singers infused the performance with a modern melody brimming with patriotic fervor, weaving together the historical significance of Shahnameh with the contemporary expressions of love for Iran. As is tradition, shortly after the new year begins, Iranian TV channels air a speech by the leader of the Islamic Revolution. In this address, the leader reflects on the highlights of the past year and outlines the direction the country should take in the upcoming year. Additionally, he designates a theme for the new year, emphasizing a key priority for the nation. This year, for instance, the leader has named it Investment for Production in response to the country's specific circumstances.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
This year, just like the past couple of years, the occurrence of Nowruz alongside Ramadan provides a unique opportunity for reflection and gratitude. As families celebrate the joys of the new year, they also observe the holy month of fasting. The juxtaposition of Nowruz's jubilant festivities with the spiritual solemnity of Ramadan invites Iranians to have both joy and contemplation.
This year, Nowruz coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. In other words, we Iranians are celebrating our national festival, Nowruz, at the same time as we're fasting, observing a religious obligation. It's interesting to note that last year, we registered the file for the global recognition of iftar and the social and cultural traditions associated with it in UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List, in collaboration with several other countries. This means that the Ministry of Cultural Heritage has registered both Nowruz, which is a national element, and iftar, which is a religious one, on a global scale. The coincidence of these two provides a great opportunity to promote both. One of the good ideas that my colleagues have in mind for this year's Nowruz table is to adorn it with some elements from iftar tables and add certain sweets traditionally served during iftar. The Ministry of Cultural Heritage has also suggested a central slogan for this season, the Crescent of Nowruz, Nowruz in Ramadan, Iranian heritage. The harmonious coexistence of these two national and religious ceremonies is truly a cultural heritage of Iran that is being well preserved.
This unique overlap encourages a harmonious blending of joy and contemplation, inviting individuals to appreciate the blessings of a new beginning while embracing the deeper significance of their faith. The lively celebrations of Nowruz, marked by colorful gatherings, traditional dishes, and the exchange of well wishes, seamlessly complement the solemnity of Ramadan, where self-discipline and introspection take center stage. This dual celebration encourages Iranians to cherish their cultural heritage and spiritual values. For Iranians, these celebrations are not mutually exclusive, but rather complementary. They often find ways to celebrate the new year while observing the fast, creating a dialogue between festivity and spirituality. This synthesis of cultural and religious practices illustrates the rich Iranian identity. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the first day of the new year. As a national festival, Nowruz serves multiple functions. It's a time for celebration, a moment for reflection, and an opportunity to strengthen familial and social bonds. Here at Golestan Palace, surrounded by splendor, we can truly appreciate the festival's role in fostering social harmony and cultural exchange. This Nowruz, as we welcome the first day of spring and the blessings of Ramadan, let's celebrate the beauty of unity in diversity. May the new year bring health, peace, and joy for all. Nowruz is not only a celebration of spring, but also a powerful element in public diplomacy. As an intangible cultural heritage recognized by UNESCO in 2010, it holds the potential to promote understanding, cooperation, and connection among diverse nations and communities. We had a conversation with Dr. Alireza Delkhosh, currently serving as Iran's ambassador to Sri Lanka and the Maldives. He provided valuable insights into public diplomacy and its connection to Nowruz.
How do you assess the role of Nowruz in fostering public diplomacy in the region?
دیپلماسی عمومی یک شیوه نوینی از دیپلماسی
Public diplomacy is a novel approach to diplomacy. It refers to a set of efforts and activities undertaken by government or institutions to communicate and influence public opinion in other countries. Its aim is to improve the national image, raise awareness of culture and values, and foster positive relationships with foreign people and media. In this light, Nowruz can be seen as a tool in the hands of public diplomacy. Nowruz can serve as a bridge connecting nations. The nations that celebrate Nowruz focus on their cultural commonalities rather than geographical, political, or ethnic divisions. The Nowruz celebration that these nations observe simultaneously, along with traditions that share many similarities, has allowed Nowruz to create a cultural geography composed of various countries, bringing nations closer together in the simplest way possible.
Nowruz transcends national borders, celebrated by various ethnic groups across the West Asia region, Central Asia, the Caucasus, and beyond. This shared heritage provides a unique platform for cultural exchange, inviting countries to engage in dialogue, share traditions, and explore common values.
Can you tell us what other countries celebrate Nowruz other than Iran?
طیف گسترده‌ای از کشورها نوروز رو گرامی می‌دارند.
Many countries around the world celebrate Nowruz. Officially, it is recognized in 13 countries: Iran, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, India, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Iraq, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and Turkey. However, it is worth mentioning that in other countries, while not all people, many groups do celebrate Nowruz, ranging from India and China to Balkan nations like Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Moreover, the themes of renewal and hope inherent in Nowruz can serve as a foundation for peace-building initiatives. The holiday emphasizes the importance of harmony and friendship, making it an ideal occasion for diplomacy aimed at fostering better relations between nations, especially in regions experiencing conflict. Events and festivals celebrating Nowruz can also facilitate grassroots diplomacy. By organizing cultural events, workshops, and community gatherings, nations can create opportunities for citizens to interact, learn from each other, and cultivate mutual respect and understanding.
The message of Nowruz is undoubtedly one of peace and friendship. Just as the United Nations has designated a day to celebrate Nowruz, this festival does not solely belong to Iran and this region. In fact, Nowruz belongs to humanity. Everyone should celebrate it, and if some countries do not observe it, it may be because they are unaware of it. Nowruz truly promotes nothing but peace and friendship among individuals and among nations.
This ancient festival can easily attract visitors and therefore can promote cultural tourism. Countries can use this holiday to showcase their unique customs, cuisine, and traditions, thus enhancing bilateral relations through economic cooperation in areas like tourism, trade, and cultural industries.
My next question is regarding foreign tourists. Do you have any specific recommendations for them visiting Iran during the Nowruz celebrations?
In our national development program, there has been special attention to tourism. The overall policy is to provide better hosting for foreign tourists, so that they leave the country with greater satisfaction and more pleasant memories. My suggestion to tourists coming from abroad is not to limit themselves to a few famous cities in Iran like Shiraz and Isfahan, which are indeed jewels of our history and civilization, but to explore the many attractive cultural and natural areas that remain unknown to tourists. It would be a pity for them to come to Iran and miss visiting these regions, which range from Hyrcanian forests in the north, registered as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, to the caravanserais scattered throughout Iran, some of which date back hundreds of years, and are also included in the UNESCO World Heritage List. By the way, these caravanserais are located in 24 provinces across the country. By visiting various and sometimes lesser known areas, tourists can have a richer and more unique experience during their travels in Iran.
In Iran, the Nowruz holidays span 13 days. On the 13th day of the new year, known as Sizdebedar, literally meaning getting rid of the 13th in Farsi, Iranians traditionally go outdoors to appreciate nature and enjoy picnics. It's common to bring along the sabze, sprouted wheat or lentils, from the half-seen table and throw it into flowing water, symbolizing the disposal of bad luck. A charming custom associated with this day involves young, single individuals, particularly girls, tying up leaves from the greenery before discarding it as a hopeful gesture for finding a partner. As Nowruz draws to a close, Iranians transition from the vibrant celebrations of the new year back to their daily routines, rejuvenated and full of energy. Mr. Majuni, reminiscent about his childhood experiences during Nowruz, emphasizing the importance of preserving the festival's rituals.
پدرم هر زمان هر ساعتی از شبانه روز که موقع هنگام سال تحویل بود ما رو بیدار میکرد.
Every year when the new year arrived, even if it was midnight, my father would wake us all and say we should sit around the half-seen table. Then he would hug us, congratulate us on the new year and give us our gifts. I will never forget the memories of Nowruz from my childhood. A season of joy, laughter, games, visiting friends and family, evening festivities, and reading the Shahnameh. Nowruz, with all its customs and traditions, has become an inseparable part of our identity as Iranians. It's something we become familiar with in childhood and grow up with. Nowruz is our national heritage, and it must be passed down from generation to generation, just as it has been until now.
That's all for today. Thank you. On behalf of everyone at Iran Today, I wish you a happy Nowruz and a year full of health, wealth, and prosperity. Bye for now.
Seven, very much pressure.
Come to you, and oh God, knowing that thou art our only king.
You are listening to the program Bookshelf on Iran Radio with Sheikh Yasser, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ajjil farajahum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. My dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, I hope that this Shahr Ramadan that has gone past has been beneficial. I also hope that you have prayed for us, as we have done for you, inshallah. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to experience another blessed Shahr Ramadan, inshallah. And that for us to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make better use of the blessed month of Ramadan if we did not make the best use in this blessed month. For only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many Shahr Ramadans we have in our book of life. But one of the books that we would like to introduce on this, the ending of the blessed month of Ramadan, is a very important book. It's a book that in recent history or in contemporary times has taken a very important place in Islamic thought. It is a very fundamental book. This book previously was translated, but it was very, the actual notes of Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, that those notes which he used to teach from were translated first. Later on, the audios of those lectures became available. They were transcribed, and they were then translated into English. This book has two translations. The translation which we will be introducing to our dear listeners in this episode is the second translation, which is the better translation. There's no harm in introducing the first translation as well. We'll do that at a later date, inshallah. So the book in its Farsi is called Tar-e Kulli Andishe Islami Dar Quran. In the English, it has been translated as Islamic Beliefs, Reclaiming the Narrative. So this is the book that we would like to introduce to our dear listeners in this episode. And we'll speak more about the book in our next segment. So please stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. As stated in our previous segment, the book that we would like to introduce to our dear listeners was titled Islamic Beliefs, Reclaiming the Narrative. It was translated by Brother Alexander Khalili and published by the Ahlul Bayt Islamic Mission in United Kingdom. It is a set of lectures that was delivered in the blessed month of Ramadan in a masjid in Mashhad, before the victory of the Islamic Revolution and before the forming of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Inshallah, we'll read a bit from the preface before this segment ends. It's extremely important. Obviously, understand the setting of this particular set of lectures. It is 1974, before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, and the secret services of the Shah are after any scholar who are speaking about political Islam. So in this particular setting, within this particular time frame, these lectures, in order to provide a correct Islamic worldview to the Muslims at that moment in time, at that moment that is so critical within the formation of the Islamic Republic, you can understand the benefit that these lectures had and the influence these lectures even have today. So in the preface, this is something that is written. It says, setting the scene. The year was 1974, and Iran in this period was a secular country governed by a tyrannical monarch who boasted centuries of monarchical authority while enjoying the backing of major global powers. It was Ramadan in the holy city of Mashhad in northeastern Iran, and with the call for afternoon prayers sounding in the background, the streets leading to the masjid would be buzzing with men and women of different ages, who in spite of the summer heat and the toll it takes on anyone fasting long hours, would come in droves to a tiny, structurally incomplete masjid to gather in anticipation of the new ideas being delivered from the pulpit. A relatively unknown young cleric, donning a black turban and a matching color cloak. It is said that Sayyid Khamenei, Hafizahullah, was about 35 years old when these lectures were delivered, stood behind the pulpit to deliver his talk. The young cleric known as Sayyid Ali Agha was the resident imam for the small masjid, and during the holy month of Ramadan, he would deliver his daily lectures while fasting. With his piercing eyes and an eloquent tongue, he would capture the imagination of the audience with ideas that would change the world in their minds. But these were ideas that had the potential to change a lot more than that. Little did the world know at the time that this young Sayyid Ali would be destined for greatness. So this is the setting, this is when the lectures were delivered, the importance of these lectures even till today, and the importance of this book, that this book has become a fundamental book for all Shia, and all Muslims rather, to read, that the foundations and the fundamentals of an Islamic worldview from the Quran al-Mujid is what? Inshallah, in our next segment, we will be reading a portion of the actual text, the portion of the lectures of Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Hafizullah, for the benefit of our dear listeners. So please stay tuned.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. Ramadan, Ramadan.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf with me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The book that we have introduced to our dear listeners was titled Islamic Beliefs, Reclaiming the Narrative. It was translated by Brother Alexander Khalili and published by the Ahlul Bayt Islamic Mission in United Kingdom. It is the translation of a set of lectures that the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Hafizahullah, delivered in the year 1974 in the city of Mashhad during the blessed month of Ramadan. So we will be reading from a lecture that he delivered on Monday, the 27th of Ramadan, 1934, which is 1934 of the Iranian month, which is 14th of October, 1974, which is titled in this book, The Wali, the Central Authority, which is a interpretation of verses number 58 and 59 from Surah Al-Nisa, verse number 4. We will ignore the we will ignore the Quranic verse for the sake of getting more from the words of Sayyid. Following on from the previous lectures, I would like now to discuss some of the issues that surround the matter of wilaya. These are not questions about the fundamental aspects of wilaya, such as what is wilaya, where is it found in the Quran, and what are the different dimensions of it. These are topics we have covered already. However, there are a series of issues that arise from wilaya and are subsidiary to it, but which are nevertheless each essential in their own right for the proper direction of the Islamic society. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make benefit of the last remaining hours and days of this blessed month, and for us to truly understand who our wali is and to act in accordance with that individual. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Bookshelf on Iran Radio with Sheikh Yasser, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
The whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening